This week on Art on the Air, we celebrate our fourth anniversary and begin our fifth season featuring composer BJ Lederman, whose theme music is heard throughout NPR programs, along with singer-songwriter Kenny White, whose film and commercial music are easily identifiable, discuss their October Midwest tour together. Our spotlight is on Michigan City's Footlight Players, closing weekend of Four Old Broads with director Bobby Commandera.
Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. You're in the know with Esther and Larry. Art on the Air today. Stay in the know with Larry and Esther. Art on the Air our way. Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. Express yourself through art and show the world.
Welcome. You're listening to Art on the Air on Lakeshore Public Radio, 89.1 FM and WVLP, 103.1 FM, our weekly program covering the arts and arts events throughout Northwest Indiana and beyond. I'm Larry Breckner of New Perspectives Photography, right alongside here with Esther Golden of The Nest in Michigan City.
Aloha, everyone.
We're your hosts for Art on the Air. Art on the Air is supported by an Indiana Arts Commission Arts Project Grant through South Shore Arts and the National Endowment for the Arts. Art on the Air is heard Friday at 11 a.m. and Monday at 5 p.m. on WVLP 103.1 FM, streaming at WVLP.org, and every Sunday at 7 p.m. on Lakeshore Public Radio 89.1 FM, also streaming live at LakeshorePublicRadio.org, and is available on Lakeshore Public Radio's website as a podcast. Our spotlight interviews are also heard Wednesdays on Lakeshore Public Radio. Information about Art on the Air is available on our website, breck.com/AOTA. That includes a complete show archive, spotlight interviews, plus our shows are available on multiple podcast platforms, including NPR One. Please like us on Facebook, Art on the Air, WVLP, for more information about upcoming shows and interviews. We'd like to welcome back to Art on the Air Spotlight, Bobby Commandera, and we're going to talk about the final weekend of the show he's directing for Footlight Players. By the way, his 50th show called Four Old Broads, and it's this weekend, October 13th through the 16th. Again, that's Footlight Players on Franklin Street in Michigan City. Bobby, welcome to Art on the Air Spotlight.
Aloha, welcome.
Oh, we're glad to have you, and it's great to be reacquainted with you. I've known Bobby for quite a few years. We never worked together in theater, but my wife has had the privilege of being in shows that you directed and everything. So is there anything you have wanted to direct that you never have that you'd still like to do?
I would love to direct Sweeney Todd.
Oh, yes.
I always wanted to be the judge in Sweeney Todd. I wouldn't be able to do that anymore, but that I love, and I wouldn't mind directing another version of Fiddler. I've directed 5 times Fiddler, and I've only been in it once. So, but I really, really enjoy that show.
Yeah, Fiddler is one of my personal favorites. I've directed it, I think, 4 times. And I have a heart for Tevye. In fact, I was involved with the old Gary Music Theater when they did it in 1972 at Highland when I was still a student there. And Leo No was the Tevye. And I just loved his interpretation of Tevye. So it was fantastic.
I worked with Leo at Dracula at Marion Theater Guild. He was Ben Heslin.
Yes. Well, I lit that show. I came in and lit that show, yes. Small world there. So from then on, you've been at Footlight, and then you started doing some directing. And you also, I think, became president, didn't you, of the organization for a while?
I was president for 18 years. I just stepped down 2 years ago. It was getting time. I mean, I was just, we needed to get some new, younger people involved because most of us are in our 60s up. And it's like, okay, the theater's going to die unless we get some young people to help us. So that was the biggest motivation to, step down and still support them and still be part of the group.
Sure.
But,
so you've been a good part of it for a good portion of its history in the latter part of the 20th century and into this century and everything. So what changes have you seen in Footlight over that whole period of time?
Well, when I first started, we did not own our own building. We rented yearly at the Cool Spring Institute. And then 1 month they said they were revoking they wouldn't take our lease. So we had to find another place to move in 1 month. And we did. My husband and I found a central school. And we were there for 2 years. But by that time, we also found an old Subway sandwich shop. And We closed Central School like in August or July, I'm sorry. And in September, we had gutted the entire Subway sandwich. And we opened with our opening show in September. And we did it all. And the building is completely paid for through all the fundraisings that we did. So that's what it is nice to have your own home where you don't have to worry about taking down the lights because they're having a basketball game or moving your costumes to someone's basement because, you know, something happened in their theater. So it was, I enjoyed doing that a lot, making that theater happen. There's been a lot more productions. When I first started, they only did 3 shows a year and they only did 4 performances of each show and they wouldn't do Sundays. And I had directed Fiddler on the Roof there, and I told him, I says, this show is going to sell out, so can't we add the 2 Sunday performances? No, they don't work. They don't work.
Oh, my gosh.
So, and we sold out every night, and it was standing room only. And I mean, I jammed people in there. And after that year, they changed it to add at least the Sunday nights.
The amazing story for never walking back to the footlight again.
Exactly.
And you still have the residual yellow awning there that you can always spot on Franklin Street.
Right.
So you have an upcoming production and you're involved with, and we want to talk about that and what you're directing and tell us a little bit about it. So
I'm directing a comedy called 4 Old Broads, and that's exactly what it's about. It's about 4 old broads that live in a retirement home, and they all want to go on a cruise. And there's a mean nurse, like a Nurse Ratched character, who decided that they can't go. So they end up, all kinds of things happen. There's a beauty pageant that happens. One of them gets in there. There is an old man that falls in love with another one of those women. And he's the retired Elvis impersonator. So there's all kinds of fun costumes and fun. It's a laugh a minute. It really is. It's out in the South. And it's only written to have fun. And I think that's what we need right now in our lives.
And who are some of the actresses that are in it?
The 4 actresses are Leslie Evans.
Leslie.
Yeah, Leslie's in it. And Laura Meyer, Susie Richter from LaPorte, and Diana Hirsch. She's from Michigan City.
Very good. Yeah. Leslie and my wife, I don't think I've ever directed Leslie anything either, but you know, they go way, way back. Yeah, that sounds like a really fun show with a great cast. And so you open when?
October 7th, and it runs for 2 weekends. First weekend is 7th through the 9th. Second weekend is Thursday through Sunday, which is 13th through the 16th.
Right. And talking about how to get tickets and things like that a little bit, where they can find out more information about the show.
You can go online to footlightplayers.org. Or you can call the phone number at our box office, 219-874-4035.
And how much are tickets?
Tickets are $17. Children 12 or under are $12, and all tickets on Thursday's performance are $12.
Yeah, and if you get 2 tickets, though, that's where the $15 each comes in, right? 2 tickets for $30 on the website?
Two tickets
for $30.
Yeah, $2 for 30.
Well, just once again, we want to thank you for coming on Art in the Air Spotlight. Bobby Commandera, their show is coming up, 4 Old Broads at the Footlight Players in Michigan City at 1705 Franklin Street. You can't miss it. The yellow awning on Franklin Street. And you come see it, you can call them at 219-874-4035. And we'll have a link on our website to get there. Bobby, it's been so great catching up with you again. And thank you, and break a leg on your show coming up.
It's been thank a pleasure, you. Bobby. Thank you.
Thank you.
You're listening to Art on the Air, WVLP 103.1 FM, and on Lakeshore Public Radio 89.1 FM. We'll be right back.
You're not a kid anymore, you must be kidding me. You look 10 years younger than you're supposed to be. You've got smooth, soft skin, bright, shining eyes. Drinking milk every day, well that's no surprise. Cause milk tastes delicious.
You're not a kid anymore.
And I'll tell you what's more.
You're not a kid anymore. Milk's good for you.
You're not a kid anymore.
People together, helping each other, will keep us growing strong. We go hand in hand, you and me. We are threads in the invisible tapestry. If we show that we care, we'll build dreams that we all can share.
Beyond Super Bowl, taste the Cheerios. Not a lot of sugar to weigh down those Cheerios. Look how they float, don't keep them down. So he can't, she can't.
We are delighted to welcome Kenny White and BJ Lederman to Art on the Air. They have had two similar musical paths, with Kenny producing a handful of albums as well as hundreds of TV and radio jingles, such as the Unsinkable Cheerios, Chevy's Heartbeat of America campaign, and countless ads for Coca-Cola. He is an accomplished pianist who also plays guitar and an extremely gifted lyricist. Kenny has also contributed to film soundtracks and has 7 CDs out, with Long List of Priors being the most recent. BJ is a freelance theme composer and is well known as the composer behind many NPR shows. Morning Edition, Weekend Edition, Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, Stump the Chumps theme on Car Talk, Marketplace, Science Friday, and many others. Some of the most recognizable sounds in public radio. BJ also produced his debut self-titled CD. I've kept this intro abbreviated to leave room for discovery during our conversation. Both Kenny and BJ have worked on an extensive list of projects with notable people. Now, both BJ and Kenny are together in a series of concerts. The Piano Tour is filled with songs, stories, and the piano. They will each perform solo and with each other. Thank you for joining Larry and I on Art on the Air. Aloha and welcome.
Thank you for having us. Thank you very much.
Aloha. You first, Kenny.
Are we in Hawaii? I would love to be in Hawaii. Rather than
age before beauty, dude.
It's all a state of mind, isn't it?
Yeah, I think
it's
that
nice
is.
To be here on this. Thanks for having us. Thanks for asking us.
Well, we appreciate you guys coming on. And of course, we're excited about the tour coming to the Midwest. So we'll start with you, BJ. We want to hear your origin story. I always like to say how you got from where you were to where you are now. So tell us all about BJ Lederman.
Well, it was a regular, you know, type of neighborhood growing up, elementary school, high school. Pretty much I was a brainiac because my mother was leaning on me, you know, as hard as she could. And I was playing in ragtag bands then, just throw together things. My first band was called the Lively Sound Dimension because my best friend, David Lively, he had the drum set. And he and I would go to the same piano teacher, basically. We had to walk there, which was a real pain. But the Beatles did it for us. We both, you know, when they came on Ed Sullivan, we both grew our hair long and started talking like this, you know, all the time. I mean, everywhere. And so we learned the Beatles songs, you know. If you learn a number of Beatles songs, I like to say, even though I went to piano lessons, I still can't read music because I was too busy asking her to teach me the Beatles songs, which I learned by ear anyway. And when you concentrate on the Beatles catalog, you get a good understanding of harmony, melody, and whatever. So it was from there to in high school, I was in the Princess Anne High School Marching Cavaliers, the marching band.
Is that the time period of your band? Was it middle school or was it high school?
It was high school. Well, wait a minute. Sixth grade. This is David.
School.
Yeah, we played for the sixth grade, I don't know, fair or whatever it was. The parents were invited and they stuck us in a classroom and arranged the chairs, you know, in auditorium fashion. And we didn't have any amplifiers. So there was a piano there. David's drums were there. David and I would switch off on piano and drums. I think we had a bass player, but the coup d'etat of all this was we had to borrow Sammy Schwartz's father's 16 millimeter projector to use as a PA system. You know, it would come with a microphone. So imagine the projector is on. You had to turn the projector on. So we had it shining in a corner, and we had the microphone hanging from some sort of makeshift mic stand at the piano. And it was called Lively Sound Dimension. And David had, he had somebody paint LSD in Peter Max colors on the drum head, on the bass drum. Little did I know never mind. You can all imagine the rest of those sounds. Anyway, I'm not going to jump forward too much, but I joined a band. Some of my friends in high school were in a beautiful band called SMEE 2, S-M-E-E, Roman numeral 2. They were playing, Kenny, remember restaurants called the Jolly Ox or the Steak and Ale restaurants? They were playing that the lounge in those things. I was underage at the time, but the lead singer of that band caught me banging on the piano, one of the pianos in the piano store at Pembroke Mall next door to the high school after school. I was playing Lady Madonna, and he sidled up next to me on the bench and said, "Hey man, you know anything else?" And I just banged out a bunch of stuff, Jackson Brown and other stuff that I knew he sang because I'd seen the band play. Next thing I know, he had invited me to sit in with them at the Jolly Ox one night. And the piano is not on stage. The piano is off stage. So I just banged out a couple of Elvis tunes, you know, one for the money, two for the show. And next thing I know, they are asking if I want to come tour with them. And by then, it was actually college, and I had to get a leave of absence from American University. Anyway, I may be getting these dates wrong. But my parents, although they were disappointed, the bass player, who was the leader, assured my mother that they would take very good care of me. By the way, I got thrown out of the Steak and Ale because when the manager found out I was 16 and I was drinking Skip and Go Nakeds. That was their signature drink. Their big tall glass with grenadine with every single liquor in it. And so I started touring. When I say touring, it was a cover band, but we would play record faithful medleys of stuff that no other bands were really touching at the time. You know, Side Two of Abbey Road, Tommy by The Who, Steely Dan medleys and Moody Blues stuff. It was a rocking time. It was wonderful.
So were you singing, BJ, then, or?
I sang backup. You know, you got all these beautiful looking guitar players. I mean, they were really handsome guys. And I think it's pretty true. The keyboard player, you know, you got to run around in the light just to be seen when you're on stage with a band like that. Kenny, isn't that the case?
Depends. depends on the act and the system.
Well, this lead singer was, you know, Donnie Ziegelbein. May he rest in peace. He departed a few years ago. And it was a great experience for me. I went back to school, started doing jingle work because my mother had a friend who wanted to do a jingle. You wouldn't be talking to me now if my mother didn't have this friend who wanted to sing on a jingle. And they arranged for financially, I guess. They found a client who needed a jingle, a company. It was called Nautilus Health Spas. And I wrote the jingle. We went to Richmond, Virginia to a studio called Apple, Candy Apple, Alpha Audio. Anyway, it changed names. And I played all the parts, you know, keyboard, synthesizers, played, you know, different sounds, and I played drums. And she laid the vocal track on. And that was my very first jingle that I had on a cassette. And I used that to go around to ad agencies in the Norfolk, Virginia Beach area and offer my services on spec. And the long and short of it was, most times the demos that I would bring in there, they liked, so they would fund me to go back into a real studio and do the final product. So I was building up a jingle reel. And one day when I was at American University in DC, studying broadcast journalism, by the way.
Very good.
Very good. With Ed Bliss, nonetheless, the father of broadcast journalism. Did I just carbon date myself, Larry?
You might have, but that's okay.
Okay. So my friend Skip Peasy, who was the head engineer at NPR, calls me and says, hey, the guys here, they're trying to cook up a new morning news show and they need a theme. Do you want a demo for it? And I said, heck yes. And it was spring break. So I had a meeting with Jim Russell, who was the original producer, who explained to me what the show was about and what it would feel like and what they needed the music to feel like. And I went home, banged on my mom's piano for about, I don't know, please don't let me say a half an hour or or less. But the theme, you know, the bop, 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 that came instantly. And
Do you remember what phrase evoked that? Because I know that you just said that, you know, you wanted to explain the feel of it. So was there a particular phrase that you can recall that made you go to where you went?
The instruction that I got from Jim and later from the producer that followed Jim, Jay Kernis, was basically, okay, this show comes on very early in the morning. I think it was 5 or 6 a.m. And most of the member stations were coming out of classical music programming. So my problem was not in the melody itself, you know, in the bulk of it, but how to transition between people who, you know, turning on their radios and maybe making breakfast or whatever, and it's classical music, then all of a sudden it's 6 o'clock. It shouldn't, they said, I think it was Jay that went, it shouldn't be like reveille. You should be da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. We don't want to shock them out of bed. We want to gently transition them from, you know, this classical feel or some laid-back thing to a modern-day intro and theme. So I actually came up with, I mean, what I know about, I hate to say this, this is, how's the joke go? What I know about classical music, you could put in my navel and still have room for an agent's heart and 2 caraway seeds. Who said that? Mel Brooks?
Yeah, still, I think so.
Yeah. Yeah. The amount of empathy this guy's got, you could put in my navel and I'd still have room for 2 caraway seeds and an agent's heart. That's what he put. So I came up with this fake, sounded classical enough for the flute and harpsichord in place of clavichord. And then we did this thing I learned from the Beatles called a whoosh, wherein we actually turned the 24-track tape upside down in the machine, ran it, recorded that way, counted to 4. I hit a piano chord, a bass note, a cymbal crash, and then let it decay so that when you turn the tape back over, you heard this chord and sound, and we actually put some flanging in there.
So right.
The cymbal went from the classical part. So this was the glue that glued the classical intro to the first chord of the modern sounding stuff with bass, drums, piano, and all that stuff.
Fantastic.
I thought it was, you know, I heard later from, you know, George, and he said, you know, besides, you know, stealing that from us, you know, which is pretty bad, we thought it was a good idea. If you didn't do it, BJ would be wrong. That's what George said to me when he heard that.
Well, BJ, we want to move on to Kenny, who's going to be with you on tour.
Really?
Yeah. So we want to give hear his origin story.
It's like Al Pacino in The Scent of a Woman. I'm just getting started.
Yeah, there we go. So, Kenny, tell us a little bit about your origin story.
Born in New York City. to a factory worker and a retail outlet worker who worked in the same building as the factory worker. They were married in 43, and
that's 1943 out. For those of you who are listening. Yes,
right. He shipped out for 2 years to Italy, and he came back. He lived through it, came back, and they were together for just short of 60 years. Had me in the city, moved to Fort Lee, New Jersey, and when I was 7, I guess it was. And I was raised in Fort Lee right across the bridge, so easy access to the Fillmore East in my early and mid-teenage years, where I was pretty much every second or third weekend since, the prices of the Fillmore East were $350, $450, and $550 for tickets. So,
and some of the bands were?
Some of the, a lot of Grateful Dead shows, a lot of Jefferson Airplane shows, Quicksilver, Joe Cocker, Jeff Beck, Young Bloods, Blind Faith. Faith was at the Garden the next one in 69.
That explains a lot, Kenny.
I pretty much saw as much. You know, there were three bands on the bill all the time in the Fillmore, and people would get there in their seats from before the downbeat of the first band, because unlike today, they were interested in hearing the music. They wanted to hear everything, whether they knew the band or not, especially if they didn't know the bands. A whole different mindset back then. And I was in a band, ostensibly the first Grateful Dead cover band in my high school days. I was 14, and that was before anybody wanted to hear the Grateful Dead, much less a cover band. But we were a jam band way before anybody needed to hear that sort of thing.
So Kenny, was the household musical? Did anybody play?
My father's brother was a lifelong musician, self-taught piano player who had zero confidence. He would get called by some of the big bands. He got called by, I think, the Jimmy Dorsey band once, and he wouldn't go. He said, no, they got the wrong cat. I come from a long line of underachievers and people who are really talented but never had faith in themselves. I don't know how I broke out of that.
You fixed that. Good.
It took a little arm twisting of my own, because, when I was doing advertising, which I've just jumped a few years ahead, but, they would say, all right, that's great. Put 5 horns on it tomorrow. Gulp. We're going to put 15 strings on it tomorrow. Gulp. Because I was never trained for any of that. And I would then sit down at the piano for the rest of the night, and I figured if it sounded good on piano, I had my book to see where the instruments, what the ranges were, and I would just start writing, and somehow I was propelled to say yes to everything, where up to that point, it was much easier for me to say no to everything.
And those of you who don't know this, Kenny and I are going out on tour together as BJ Lederman and Kenny White, piano tour, but we met in earnest just recently, so we're still getting to know each other. Yeah. So I have a question for you, Kenny. How sure. did you do that first jingle? How did you get into that situation?
I wasn't looking to do it, BJ. I had a friend, Robin Bateau, who wrote The Heartbeat of America.
I've got to stop you here and tell the people that Kenny and I were in New York at the same time doing jingles in the same basic time frame. We didn't know each other then, but we know a lot of we have a lot of people in common from New York, from the jingle and singing and instrumental, studio musician scene.
You're listening to Art on the Air with our guests today, BJ Lederman and Kenny White, on Lakeshore Public Radio 89.1 FM and on WVLP 103.1 FM.
So go ahead, Todd. I don't know the story.
So yeah, Robin and I was recording in my bedroom on a 4-track recorder, and Robin came in with these jobs, and one of them was the Unsinkable Taste, which you've played earlier in this broadcast, and also Heartbeat of America, and I did the Cheerios commercial in my bedroom, and next thing I know, I was getting a call from this studio in Nashville saying, we've just placed a song of yours with the Neville Brothers, and we'd like you to be we'd like you to come down here and be a staff writer. I said, that's great, but I've just landed in this odd situation. I'm doing these TV commercials, and they're paying me for trying. And and I had, you know, I used to play six sets a night in the combat zone in Boston, and for $12 and be thrilled about it. I didn't know what getting paid for trying was until I got into this business. So I actually turned them down. I said, I'm going to see where this lands.
I used to call it getting paid for failing.
Yeah,
exactly.
You know, you do the one that makes it for free, and they pay you for to fail on the rest of the stuff.
I went to college for a year and a half at Rutgers, and I quit. And then my father was very upset, saying, "You know, you're going to end up like your Uncle Louie. You know, you're going to be doing one night stands and cruise ships." And I said, if I am, I am. I feel like there's nothing else in the world I want to do. I'm a prisoner of this, you know, and whatever happens, happens. And I was forever. I knew, I didn't know how I was going to make ends meet, but I got a call. I had moved up to Boston because we were a little intimidated about New York City, even though I was born there. And I lived in Boston for 10 years, and that's where I met Livingston Taylor. And he said, I heard your band the other day. I'd love you to record with me. So I said, oh, good. I've never been on a record. So I stayed in Boston an extra couple of weeks to record with him. Someone else said, do you want to audition for my friend? He's in this band from Philadelphia. Band turned out to be Hall & Oates. And the first single was climbing the charts, so that keyboard player never left the band. Which was fine, because it probably would have been a whole different career for me.
Right.
You know, Kenny, we want to sample some of your music before we run out of time here. So yeah, I was going to do a Cyberspace, briefly set that up, and then we're going to take a quick listen to that.
It was a little too much time spent on the internet, which I was doing, and finding out all these things, and horrified with most of the things I was finding out, because I love.
You read the articles. Yeah. You didn't just look at the pictures.
No, I didn't just look at the pictures. You know, I love the GPS. I'd still be looking for gigs from 3 years ago if I didn't have one. I love the iPod when it came out, because I was carrying tons and tons of CDs on the road with me. Everything else in the internet, I think, has somehow adversely affected our lives, especially our political lives. And I'd like to keep the GPS and the iPod and go back to where we were prior to this.
Not only our political lives, but our friendship lives as
absolutely.
Well.
Absolutely. And cyberspace was trying to encapsulate some of the feelings I was feeling. It started out as a free write. As some of my songs have, I would just write a couple of pages, and then I'd look at it, and I'd say, you know, there might be a song in there, and you'd get out the hammer and chisel and find a couple of rhymes.
You mean lyrics first, Kenny?
Lyrics first, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Well, let's take a quick listen to it. Here's Cyberspace, Kenny White.
I learned about a wedding crash by rebels in New Delhi. I learned about a guy who stashed 3 kilos in his belly. I learned Amelia Earhart may in fact still be alive, and that killer bees in Sicily are learning how to drive. I learned my friends are two-dimensional, every secret written. You don't need to tap their phones, there's nothing left that's hidden. I learned that cats are cute unless you happen to be a mouse. I learned it only takes a suit to be elected to the House. I spent the day in cyberspace. Contagious insanity, as goes the human touch, so goes humanity. I learned the world's a lovely mystery, I'm just glad to tag along. As soon as someone's sure they're right, that's when I'm sure they're wrong. I learned that it's a better thing to build a bridge than burn it. I learned that people taught to turn the other cheek won't turn it. And that evidence and science now are that we thumb our noses. The mention of a dying earth, the conversation closes. But pitchforks and streets of gold, that we're gonna swallow. Well, I learned not to judge, but pardon me if I don't follow. You can spend half a life tossing hopes into the air. Two hands engaged in labor do more than 1,000 clasped in prayer. I spent the day in cyberspace. Contagious insanity, as goes the human touch, so goes humanity. lighting. I learned about a war or two we had no business fighting. I learned the highest judges in the land can still be bought. I learned if you play footsie with the next stall, you'll be caught. And that you can repent once, but the second time you're toast. I learned the ones most guilty are the ones that yell the most. I learned that people cite the Constitution till they're blue, but the only amendment that they know is number two. Some try to save the unborn through their righteous megaphone, but God help you after the first breath you take on your own. I spent the day in cyberspace. Contagious insanity. Here's to the human race. All of this vanity. I learned that people swallow metal things more often than I guess. I learned that less is more and that I'm sure of more or less. I learned that even when you think you are, you're not alone. I learned that Walmart shoppers are a breed unto their own. I learned that music I detest is other people smitten. The only time I have agreed was worst lyric ever written. Horace with no name. Plants and birds and rocks and things. I learned the best opinions are the ones that stay unspoken. And still I sing the song to you despite my own advice. Believe me, soon it will be over and I'll sing something nice. I learned we got a stack of bills and nothing left to pay them. No more things to say and now 100 ways to say them. And I learned all this in an hour here at Laptop College. So much information and so little knowledge. I learned we need to make time for our husbands and our wives, and that we're drifting far from what's important in our lives. Not you and me. I'll make your motor run, don't you ever doubt it. But baby, hurry up and come so I can tweet about it. I'll spend the day in cyberspace. Contagious insanity. As goes the human touch, so goes. I'll spend the day in cyberspace. Contagious insanity.
That was Cyberspace from Kenny White. So you get a little sample of what's beyond the jingle in his life there.
It's a little distressing.
Yes.
And a sample of what we'll be playing on our upcoming tour to Indiana and Michigan.
Michigan, yes. Which are just while we're saying that, and we'll hit at the end of the show, is October 20th, Thursday. You'll be at Notre Dame. And you'll be doing the piano duo show, then Traverse City on the 22nd of October, and then 23rd Grand Rapids. So you'll be in the Midwest, and hopefully people can get out there. So BJ, back to you. And I know one song that my co-host just absolutely loved was your mom's telephone or phone call. So tell us a little about the.
It's like sweet, bittersweet, and just fun too.
It's the perfect Jewish mother type thing to add to an album. It's like a spice. The backup band on that album I need to mention is the Randall Bramlett Band out of Georgia, Athens, near Athens, Georgia. And Bella Fleck is on a few of the pieces. But this particular piece actually was suggested by the producer, mixer man, Eric Serafin, here in Asheville, where we recorded this at Echo Mountain Studios in beautiful downtown Asheville. When my mom passed, I had a lot of her phone messages to me. It wasn't a voice machine type of thing. It was the, you know, the Verizon voicemail. And for no reason, I didn't think I would be using this for anything. I just wanted to save it before Verizon, you know, nuked all of her messages, because some of them were just a riot. I dumped them to, you know, digital tape, if you will. I imported them into my computer. And when I played some of this for Eric, he said, man, you got a song here. So we got in the studio with the Randall Bramlett guys, and we just did a groove. You'll hear this little jazzy groove. And Eric just picked among the many, many voicemails, voice messages of hers. She always ended it with, this is your mother, PJ. And I can do her. You know, PJ, how come my clock on my VCR is always flashing 12 o'clock? Could you come over here and fix it? Mostly they were just wanting to get me over to the house. Finally, I said to her, Mom, you know, Congress just passed a law. It's now 12 o'clock all the time. So the clock is right. I'm not coming over. But this piece is called Mom's Phone Messages. Hope you enjoy it.
Well, let's take a quick listen to it.
PJ, don't buy or eat romaine lettuce. It's so really coli. Regular lettuce is okay, but not romaine. This is your once a day loving mother calling you. Bye, darling. PJ, call me as soon as possible. It's very important. Very important. Please call me. It's quarter to two. I'll be here. Thank you.
Do it.
was BJ Lederman's Mom's Phone Messages. You're listening to Art on the Air with our guests today, BJ Lederman and Kenny White, on Lakeshore Public Radio 89.1 FM and on WVLP 103.1 FM. What an experience. I mean, it's actually interesting that you could integrate that into that. We're wrapping up in about 5 minutes here, so I want to make sure we hit all the things we want to talk about, especially how you guys got together. You touched on a little bit, so whichever one you want to pick that up. I mean, you talked about early in your career you were doing jingles, but didn't really connect. So tell us about that.
I'll do the first part, and Kenny, you fill in. It happened in Asheville. I lived across the street from Betty Friedrichsen, who hosted house concerts. Sorry, you're going to have to edit a lot of my brain farts out of here. She hosted house concerts, and one day she said, I'm having this fabulous singer-songwriter over, Kenny White, and he needs a small PA system. She knew I had one. So I brought mine over and ran a sound for him, he says, but I don't remember it. Kenny, over to you.
It was back in your dark days.
It could have been. So these are my light days? Is that what you're saying?
Next thing I heard, you cut to three or four or five years later, I get a call from my publicist, and BJ was trying to get in touch, said, just heard from BJ Lederman, he's interested in maybe putting a duo show together with you. And I said, I'm game, I'll try anything. See, I'm back in my yes phase. and so we got in touch, and BJ came up to Brooklyn, where I live, and we spent a couple of days in the studio just to run it up the flagpole. And then I went down to Asheville, and we did the same thing there, and we feel like we might have a show now. So here we are going to the Midwest.
And when I first, your publicist, Sandy Goldfarb, yeah. I was friends with a guy that used to own a recording studio in New York where I would record my jingles, Dave Wilkes. It's such a small world between Kenny and me. It's like a 1 degree of separation between me, Kenny, and the Beatles, actually.
Dave was my agent for about 6 months.
Oh. Okay, I didn't know that. So, Kenny hired Billy Preston to play, had Billy play on some of his stuff, and he had Mick Jagger and Keith Richards. I mean,
that was on Peter Wolf record.
Peter, yeah. Right. His best friend is Peter Wolf, of the band.
Jay Giles.
Yeah, that's what he's remembered for. But anyway, what got me and Kenny on my side of it, I had heard his song On the Other Shore, or The Other Shore, is that the title?
Right.
Yeah, The Other Shore.
Okay. We probably play a little of that. But, and I was just, it's breathtaking. And so I did my homework. I went on to Apple Music and to YouTube and saw a lot more of his videos. I saw David Crosby singing harmony in the studio with him. And I went, holy moly. Yeah. And so I said, this guy's the real deal. I'd be stupid not to take whosever idea this was. So we're rolling it out. And,
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. It's a new concept for
Notre
me.
Dame and City Opera House and Listening Room in Grand Rapids, third week of October. We can't wait to
tell
get
your
this
friends
on the road.
I would have assumed that you were friends forever.
We had a lot of mutuals, but no, we had not known each other at all through those
years. The other thing that's happened is that we seem, I mean, not only to get along, but I think I found a long-lost brother in Kenny. We're just on the same wavelength. We bounce hysterical comedy off of each other, some of it wildly inappropriate, and we both love it. So I'm going, oh, this is great. So it's going to be
part of the tour? Is that going to be part of the tour?
Yeah, we're making this up as we go along. This is not going to be your normal concert. We're going to be feeling each other out. And so the two pianos, let me disabuse the audience of any idea they might have that this is like a dueling piano bar type of thing. There's be a grand piano on the stage, and usually on the other side of the stage would be an electric piano, so I can play different electronic piano sounds and maybe even add bass guitar on the left hand. So there's going to be more oomph there. And the fact that we're playing each of our originals, both of us will be on the stage accompanying each other on each other's originals. At times, one of us will leave the stage, leaving the other one there to do originals, or in my case, I like to do covers, so I'll be doing some Beatles and Cat Stevens. And we've got a real rocking version of Get Together by the Youngbloods that we're going to wrap up with. So you never know what you're going to get. It's going to be different every time, but
you know, fun. And unfortunately, we're just about out of time. So I want both of you to tell us how people can find you online. So Kenny, tell us how people can locate you and contact you.
KennyWhite.net, KennyWhite.net.
See, isn't that easy to spell?
That's very easy.
And me, it's BJLiederman.com, and that's LeiderMan.
Okay. Well, anyway, we're going to see them in South Bend on Thursday, the 20th of October. So if you can get tickets, it's at the Performing Arts Center there. And then in Saturday, the 22nd October, Traverse City, the Opera House there. And Sunday, the 23rd, in Grand Rapids, the Listening Room. Gentlemen, it has been a real privilege and honor to have you on Art on the Air. We look so forward to your concerts, and maybe you'll have a future collaboration where you do additional tours. So thank you so much for coming on Art on the Air.
Thanks.
Did he just call us, gentlemen?
I sure did.
Yeah, he doesn't know us well enough.
Thank you so much, Larry. Esther, thanks for having us. We'll see you out there soon. Take care, everybody.
Went by too fast.
And we close out today's show with another selection from Kenny White, The Other Shore.
There's a time, early evening, the city shows its mercy. Lines are cast through the river glass as the sun sinks into Jersey. And on my left, the lady glints the copper torch of liberty. On my right, the faded prints of where you stood so near to me. Through window panes as thin as prayer, you can hear the peals of thunder. I've spent hours sitting there, confusing love with hunger. Today my longing knows no limits. I'm held by what I cannot hold. Stay with me for just these few more. Keep me from the cold. Just one more chance to make you laugh, I'd give the world, you know. I have not always shown my best. I've wounded those I most adore. But all is well, safely rest, I will meet you on the other shore.
We'd like to thank our guests this week on Art on the Air, our weekly program covering the arts and arts events throughout Northwest Indiana and beyond. Art on the Air is heard Friday at 11 a.m. and Monday at 5 p.m. on WVLP 103.1 FM, streaming live at WVLP.org, and every Sunday at 7 p.m. on Lakeshore Public Radio 89.1 FM, also streaming live at lakeshorepublicradio.org, and is available on Lakeshore Public Radio's website as a podcast. Our spotlight interviews are also heard every Wednesday on Lakeshore Public Radio. Thanks to Tom Maloney, Vice President of Radio Operations for Lakeshore Public Radio, and Greg Kovach, WVLP's Station Manager. Our theme music is by Billy Foster with a vocal by Renee Foster. Art in the Air is supported by an Indiana Arts Commission Arts Project Grant through South Shore Arts and the National Endowment for the Arts. We would like to thank our current supporters and underwriters, which include regional art patron Mary Levan and Walt Breidinger of Paragon Investments. So we may continue to bring you Art on the Air, we rely on you, our listeners and underwriters, for ongoing financial support. If you're looking to support Art on the Air, we have information on our website at breck.com/AOTA, where you can find out how to become a supporter or underwriter of our program in whatever amount you are able. And like I say every week, don't give till it hurts. Give till it feels good, and you'll feel so good about supporting Art on the Air. If you're interested in being a guest or sending us information about your arts, arts-related event, or exhibit, please email us at aota@breck.com. That's aota@breck.com, or contact us through our Facebook page. Your hosts were Larry Breckner and Esther Golden, and we invite you back next week for another episode of Art on the Air.
Aloha, everyone. Have a splendid week.
Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. Express yourself through art and show the world your heart.